Opinions expressed in this episode are individual and are not representative of Toronto Metropolitan University or Spirit Live. And now Blue Hour with Tia and Honey.
I'm Tia.
I'm Honey.
And welcome to Blue Hour with Tia and Honey.
Have you ever tried parachuting, been caught in a tornado, ended up on the other side of DMZ in North Korea, and fallen in love with a soldier?
Probably not. If you have, I don't think you would be here. But let us share the story of someone who did exactly that.
This is Blue Hour with Tia and Honey, where we watch, research, and yap about all things K-drama and behind-the-scenes production. As a disclaimer, we will not reveal every detail of the shows we talk about, nor the ending. Our intention here is to share our excitement of the show with all of you, but also for you to be able to enjoy the show and feel the anticipation when watching it yourself.
Today's session is about the beloved K-drama Crash Landing on You,
which crash landed in the global top 10, making history of being the most viewed show of TVN before 2024. So pause the episode, grab your tea with Honey, and let's dive into it. Crash Landing on You parallels lives between a South Korean heiress, Yoon Se-ri, who's from an affluent family, with a North Korean soldier, Lee Jung-hyuk, who's also from a wealthy high-ranking family. So in the first episode, our girl is thrown into a dating scandal already. And in the first minute in, she's already more concerned about the paps not showing off her outfit properly. But more interestingly, she's concerned about how the scandal will affect her stocks. Now,
businesswoman for sure.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know anything about finance, to be honest, but clearly she is an expert. And it's not every day that we get not one, but two K-drama female leads that are whip smart and also the leader of their chaebol packs. Now, just to clarify for anyone new to the world of K-drama, chaebol means giant Korean conglomerate, often controlled by a family. So in this episode, the whole family's called home, and by home I mean their billion-won mansion, because Father Dearest is going to announce who's taking over the family business.
How exciting!
In a turn of the tables, Appa bluntly states that he wants Se-ri to take over. And so, elated, she unwinds by doing what we all do to celebrate a win. She goes paragliding.
Really? Interesting.
And here, my dear listeners, is where everything hits the fan. If you paid attention to the beginning, she does get caught in a giant tornado that brings her over the DMZ and into North Korea. Somehow, the logistics get lost in the storm. But our leading man, Jung-hyuk, finds her caught in a tree on patrol, and it's explosives from there, both literally and figuratively.
Oh no.
How did you feel about the first episode, Matea?
You know what? I think I was quite surprised, if I'll be honest. Because it is a K-drama, and I watch quite a bit of K-drama. But the thing with episode one, it was interesting because it was a different story of plot than what I first thought it would be like. She was not a dimwit like a lot of shows, especially I would say like if you look at Western shows, a lot of the times where the girls are rich, they make her seem like the dumb blonde. But in contrast, this lady, Se-ri, she is extremely smart and she knows what she wants. She goes for it. And she stands up for herself, and I think that's a great thing.
I agree. Honestly, like, straight off the bat, I can't express how perfect their chemistry shows through, even with their first interaction.
Yeah.
Like, she's refreshingly blunt, unafraid of flirting with the man who could lead her to her own execution.
Mm-hmm.
And she does it with an adorable, innocent smile on her face. And, you know, he's the stoic, by the book, kind of serious, strict man. But her wiles make him all flustered and confused.
And she breaks his walls, is all I'm gonna say.
I do have to say, I enjoy a dynamic where, you know, like, the female lead makes the male lead question purpose and his sanity.
It's the best plot.
Now we're also introduced to Gu Seung-jun, a con man on the lam from Interpol themselves.
Oh
this
my.
Is towards the end of the episode. And he brings on another favorite dynamic of mine, Mr. Criminal Fugitive, with our second female lead, Miss Prim and Proper, So-dan. She, like Yoon Se-ri, is also an heiress, just North Korean. She's actually engaged to our male lead, Lee Jung-hyuk, because of an arrangement between their families, because he's also rich.
What are we getting into here?
Yeah. And so I feel like both couples kind of parallel each other in opposite ways, you know? Gu Seung-jun is like this playful con man, unafraid mm-hmm. to flirt, unafraid to show and get what he wants. She's very, you know, proper, structured, grew up this way, grew up into an affluent family. She had everything laid out for her. And so this is the way she's supposed to act. And I feel like you can really see that also with Yoon Se-ri and Lee Jung-hyuk. All of the characters kind of have this like predestined fate thrust upon them because of external circumstances.
Like their families, their business, and everything is like, oh, you have to act this way to just live.
Exactly. And I think Seo-dan, even though we aren't introduced to her in the first episode, she seems very much like prim and proper. Mm-hmm. That's the perfect way to describe her. You know, she doesn't take any nonsense. Mm-hmm. She ignores Gu Seung-joon first off. She rejects him straight off the bat. Not even necessarily romantically, but just as a person in general. But I think she's a character that grew on me the most, I'd say. Mm. She may not be my favorite, but the fact that she started out cold and elitist, but had a development that was like worth shedding a tear, I think that says a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think also like with his fiance, or like real, so to say, fiance.
Yeah.
The thing with her is that it's so easy for her to become the villain, because she kind of, if you want to think about it, becomes the stepping stone or the block between the two main characters' romance. But in the end, if you actually look at it from a broader perspective, she's the one that actually had it really unfair. She was forced into a marriage. She tried her best with her real-life fiancé.
Yeah.
And then ended up like falling in love with somebody else.
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
But she does have a very tragic backstory. I think something about her, something about that like tragedy and paired with her passion for cello, just really kind of brings out a character that you want to root for.
Mm.
And this second lead romance she has with Gu Seung-joon really like brings her out of her shell, and she ends up making choices that are both raw and vulnerable instead of living the way that she was quote unquote meant to be, because her mother or her family said so.
Yeah.
And I think part of what makes this K-drama like Crash Landing on You, what makes it so good, is that each character starts out with set beliefs, ways of thinking, ways of life that they think are what is most important. And it's all challenged by people that they least expect to show up in their lives. Just kind of hits them like a tornado. Yeah.
Like that paraglider.
And my God, the yearning is so good.
I know. The thing I love with the relationship between the two main characters is the push and pull. Again, no spoilers. I mean, we want you to enjoy this by yourself. But the fact that, like, no matter how they want to tell themselves that they don't want it, you know that? Like, that feeling of, like, when you watch two characters, they're like, but I don't want to want it. Like, you don't want to have that desire for somebody else.
Yeah.
And then it's what they need. Not always, I feel like what these shows are showing us is that not always do we get what we think we need. We actually get what we actually need. Yeah. Or like ask those characters.
And it means so much more because it's not just attraction.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't even want each other in the first place.
I will say though, the main Seri, she did want that. Who's this handsome man coming
in? If he was a South Korean soldier instead of North Korean, oh my God. But I think what's great about the main couple specifically, it's a lot of comedy and a lot of romance, but it also revolves around her survival in North Korea. Like, there's a very real possibility that she could be tortured or executed.
Right.
For something that was totally out of her control.
Yep.
And
There's a sacrifice there.
Yes.
It's like, yes, again, like no spoilers, but like they want each other, but they know that if they actually follow through with it, there's consequences that come along with it.
Yeah.
And I think
consequences.
A lot of consequences, because not only her life, but also think about him.
Yeah.
Because he is in the military.
Yes.
He has a higher position than like the lowest one. Everything together, not only would she sacrifice her life for her, you know, safety, but he also sacrifices himself.
Protecting her safety and identity and risking his own life. That's all from the very first episode.
Yeah.
Like, that was without the expectation or context of romance. Back when those two characters met, like, sure, she flirted a little. But he wasn't into it. Like, there was no, zero expectation of what was going to happen. And yet he sacrificed his livelihood for her. And it's like, you know, they wouldn't hesitate to torture or murder him. Mm-mm. They have no trouble making him disappear very quietly without a trace.
No.
But he protects her anyway, because in spite of what he's taught about South Korea, in spite of his military duty to his country and all of the peace that he has for being from a rich family, he believes it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the whole thing about his character that hits so many people deeply, is the fact that, yes, he grew up in North Korea. They might have been taught certain things about South Korea. But he himself has so strong values that if it was Seri or if it was somebody else, he would still do the same thing. Mm-hmm. He didn't do this because he thought Seri was beautiful.
Yeah.
He did this because he has values and he exactly. has a standard. And he's like, you know what? I would do this to anybody else. Mm-hmm. I would save them if that was on me. Of course, he made it seem like he was forced to save her because he was on patrol when this happened.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, it still is something that he could have easily shared with the people higher up and they could have taken care of her.
And the fact that he didn't shoot her right off the bat.
That too.
He didn't shoot her when she fell right on top of him. I think it's just this first act of like truly selfless kindness that makes Seti trust him.
Yeah.
And even within the first episode, you get a good sense of their characters.
Yep.
So you know that she has a very hard time trusting people, especially her own family, because of her incompetent dimwit brothers, who are criminals.
They are.
But,
and you'll see more of that later in the show.
Yeah. And like in that kind of environment, no one was there for her. She only had herself to rely on, which is tragic, even if she was loaded. And then all of a sudden, this stranger shows up willing to sacrifice his own life and everything he held dear just to protect her and her identity.
Yeah.
And I think that really not only highlights their romance, but highlights her character, too.
And another thing that I do want to mention with the characters in this show, my true favorite, the different soldiers, the four, I think it was four or five different soldiers that was under him and their relationship being developed along with Seti. If you are
looking... The friendship is good.
If you are looking for something funny, wholesome, I think that is actually what brings the whole show together.
Yeah.
Because this, it's based in North Korea and it's based on such a dark topic that we in the Western world only hear about through media or news. But these four characters, all I can say is I love them. Those four people are perfect in this show.
Yeah, that cast of like the North Korean bros, like they really just tied it all up together.
Exactly.
They were their found family.
That is so true.
Another thing that I truly love about this K-drama is their love for music. Hodan's love for cello that added like another dimension to her character that was just beautiful.
Yeah.
And also Lee Jong-kyuk and his piano playing plays a very important part.
Keep that in mind for the first few episodes. And I also wanted to touch a little bit about the behind the scenes production. And the fact is that in the beginning of every episode, there is a text or a disclaimer that say all characters, incidents, organizations, and background are fictitious. And this kind of brings everything back to reality, that the life that you see on this show that's supposed to depict North Korea is very much like how North Korea is. And the prop manager, whose name is Ju Dong-man, I apologize if I say that wrong, talked about this in an interview, and he talked about how difficult it was to recreate this life because there's so little information on what actually goes on in North Korea. But there has been North Korean escapees who has been reviewing this show very meticulously on YouTube, and they talk about how realistic it actually is. And I think that's a very interesting point, is how much planning and how much, I guess, care that has gone into this show to make sure that the show is as realistic as possible, but also doesn't offend anybody. Like, that's such an important part.
Propaganda is everywhere. But the fact that they're trying to bridge the two nations together in a K-drama that's about love.
Yeah.
I think that speaks to humanity's wish, you know? reunification.
Yeah, it does.
During the filming, mm-hmm. Crash Landing on You, Son Ye-jin and Hyun-bin started dating back in 2020.
No way.
So all of the chemistry, all of the romance that you may have seen or yet to have seen on TV wasn't all make-believe. They were actually falling in love.
I think that truly is what makes the show. I think that's why people fell in love with them as a couple.
You can feel it. Oh, yeah. You just, those looks in their eyes, that hug, too good to not be true. Even more exciting.
What?
They got married.
No way.
And they had a son.
Oh my. A little baby. What if he's going to become an actor?
Oh my God.
What is going to
happen? K-drama Taebol family. But seriously, like, they're both huge actors in Korea. For them to get married after a K-drama that broke records, was in Japan's top 10 for 69 weeks. That's over a year. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And was TVN's top K-drama before 2024.
Yeah.
That's groundbreaking.
Yeah, it is truly groundbreaking.
I'm not one for parasocial relationships, but you just can't help but fawn over them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even in the interviews, you could tell the sheer amount of respect that they have for each other.
For sure.
Not necessarily as lovers, but just as fellow actors, fellow performers, fellow artists.
Yeah. So as final thoughts, so we, with our podcast, have a specific way of rating a show. Instead of stars, we'll rate them in teacups. And if there's half a point or like a grade of a point, we'll call that honey drops. So for example, we could say instead of 5.5 stars, we'll call it 5 teacups and 5 honey drops. Honey,
mm-hmm.
what is your rating of this show?
I will have to give it a solid 9 teacups and 8 honey drops.
Oh my.
It's really specific. It pisses even me off. But like 9.8 stars, really. But I take off like the 0.2 because it's not my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't deny that it's not one of the greatest.
For sure.
It's like the K-drama goat.
Yeah, I know. I completely know what you mean. For me, I might seem a bit more critical, but I think that's just because this type of story, even though I love it, I have a weak spot for like magical shows, like stuff that goes over like might not seem as realistic in a sense. So for me, but it's so high up there because the storyline, the plot, the production, it's so incredible. But personally, I'll give it 8 teacups and 8 honey drops. But that's because it's regards to what type of story plot and storyline that I enjoy watching.
Yeah. I can't find any faults. That's why I give it 9.8, right? Like, maybe
production-wise, I would give it a 10 out of 10.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're trying still to figure out how we're going to do this, but the mood of the show. Should we rate it in the song? Should we just rate it as a way of what type of mood it is?
By for Crash Landing on You,
mm-hmm.
Are you going to do this? Like those Spotify mood things? Like, this is giving pumpkin latte spice, gay pop afternoon.
What if we rated it like a genre of music, like R&B, classical?
I would say total K-drama OST, which would make sense since it's a K-drama, but just that kind of classic, like, romance moment where the guy turns around and the girl is there all beautiful, except there are people trying to shoot them down and they're
We're just going to reveal the whole plot in one go.
But it's very much like a classic staple K-drama vibe.
Yep. And original soundtrack. That's what OST stands for, by the way. Yes. Original soundtrack. I will agree with you. Well, I'll add a little bit of an extra touch. I feel like it has a sprinkle of classical music feel to it.
Like a ballad?
Kind of like a ballad, but like Beethoven.
That would make sense since all of like the cello and the piano themes.
And also the way that the main actors or like the main characters act, specifically the one from North Korea, they're so put together that when I envision them like classical music. Before they go into like, have you seen John Batiste? He made Beethoven music into like R&B or like added his own tone.
Oh, wow.
It. Yeah, or no, it was blues. He made Beethoven into blues. Mm-hmm. That's what I'll give it. I'll give it John Batiste, if that's how you pronounce it.
Classical blues?
Yes.
K-drama ballads and classical blues.
There you go.
And for a snack that I would recommend, yeah. I think something comforting, like brownies and ice cream.
Yeah, I agree. Because you will be sad and you will cry watching this show. So you need something comforting. Now,
it's not tragic per se, but given the obvious themes, like there's tragic aspects to it.
I agree. But I will also say, I'm not going to spoil the ending, but it will be I found it hard to accept.
I know. It's a difficult pill to swallow, but it remained on par with the fact that, you know, they wanted to respect realism while also respecting love and romance.
So as we bring this episode to an end, we hope you enjoyed listening to us yapping about crash landing on you, because it definitely crash landed into our hearts. Now we are going to end this, but honey, do you have anything to say about our next episode?
Well, our next episode is on a very iconic K-drama. Maybe a bit newer for the K-drama veterans, but definitely a staple that has gotten many people into the industry.
It did for me.
Something I will say is that I appreciate the unique spin of mixing 2D with 3D.
This was Blue Hour with
Tia and
Honey.